This is Shimon Newport with Hilchos Shabbos, chapter 22. This chapter contains 33 halachas dealing with further malachas and things that are forbidden by rabbinical decree because they are similar to malacha or may lead to malacha. Halacha aleph, rediyas hapas, removing bread from the oven, afa pisheinu malacha, even though this is not a malacha, osu oisech hachomim shemayovi lefis. The sages have forbidden it because if one will do that, he may come to bake bread to begin with. On Shabbos ha'amad, big pas betanim, one who sticks a loaf of bread into the oven on Friday while it's day, v'kodesh alav hayoim, and then Shabbos arrived, matzil mimenaj mozin sholish tzudis, and the Shabbos arrived while the bread was still in the oven, he can take out enough food for the three meals of Shabbos, v'oymer l'acherim, and he can also call others and announce to them, boyu v'hatzilu lochem, come and save some food for yourself, afal pisha radia eina malocha, and even though removing it from the oven is not a malocha, kishahu matzil, nevertheless, when he's saving the enough food for Shabbos for the three meals, Lo Yirdeh B'Mardeh, should not remove it with the scoop that is usually used to remove it from the oven, Ela B'Sakin, he should remove it with a knife, Kedei L'Shanis, in order to do it in an unusual fashion, Halacha Beis, B'Pnei Ma'osh, Osu Chachom Likonis B'Mechitz B'Shabbos, it's forbidden to go into a bathhouse and bathe on Shabbos, even though the water was heated on Friday. Why is it forbidden? Why did the sages forbid this? B'pnei habalonim, because there were bathhouse attendants, shayu b'cham and cham in b'Shabbos, they would heat the water on Shabbos, v'oyim r'me'er of Shabbos huchmu, and they would say to the customers that they had heated it on Friday. L'fichach gozu sh'leikon yisodim l'mechatz b'Shabbos l'afil l'azia, and therefore they have decreed that a person should not go into the bathhouse on Shabbos, even though he's only going to sweat in the hot air and not bathe. V'gozu sh'lo yishtatif kol gufi b'chamin, also they forbade one not only to bathe, but to rinse his whole body with hot water, and even if the water was definitely heated on Friday, but to wash his face, his hands, and his feet, mutar is permitted. When is all this forbidden? If it was heated by a fire, the water was heated by fire, Zeir Mishum Mechatz, because then we're afraid that he will go into the bathhouse. Aval Bechami Tveria, but naturally heated water, such as the hot springs of Tveria, Bechayitzibam, a similar hot water, Mutel Shtatibam Kol Gufay, it's permitted to rinse the whole body with. But it's forbidden to bathe in hot water, even water that's naturally hot in the cave, Vipnesha Maira Yeshla Hevel, because in the cave it's an enclosed place and there's steam, and he'll end up sweating and it's like bathing. Halacha Gimel, Mischami Modim Keneged Hamedura, a person can warm himself up by a fire, V'yoytzei Mishtatif Kol Gufay, and then he can go away from the fire and rinse his whole body, B'tzeinen, with cold water, even though his body was warmed up first. Avleini Mishtatif Kol Gufay B'tzeinen, but he cannot rinse his body first with cold water, Mischami Keneged Hamedura, and then warm himself by a fire, V'nesha Mavshir Mayim Shalom, because the water that's still on him is heated thereby, V'nimtza Kerechetz Kol Gufay B'chamin, and therefore for it's like washing his whole body with hot water. Maybe Silin Shel Tzoynen one who has a pipe that conducts cold water and he brings the pipe through some hot water, even through the hot springs of Tveria, the water inside the pipe that is now heated thereby is water that was heated on Shabbos, and it's forbidden to wash with this water or to drink it. Maybe one can take a pitcher of water and put it next to the fire, not with the intention of heating it, but to remove the chill, and so also he can take a pitcher of or jar of congealed oil and put it next to the fire so that it will liquefy, but not to heat it. One can also anoint his or or rinse his water, his hand with water or with oil, mechamid keneged hamedura, and heat it next to the fire. However, it's only permitted if the water that's on his hand does not get hot enough that it would be hot enough to scald a baby's belly, because that's cooking already. It's also permitted to warm up a piece of cloth and put it onto the belly on Shabbos to warm one's belly. Halacha, hey, ambati shel merchet shimaleya mayim chamim, a bathtub that's full of hot water, a nice nimla mayim tzeinen shaharei mechamim amharbe, you cannot pour some cold water into it, because the cold water is greatly heated by pouring it into a bathtub full of hot water. V'chein lo yitin l'techa pach shel shemen, also you cannot put a jar of oil into it, v'bnei shu kimivashle, because since the jar of oil will become very hot, it's like cooking. Avon nesin hu mayim chamim l'techa ambati. However, one can pour a little hot water into a bathtub full of cold water, because the cold water is not heated thereby. He only removes the chill. Halacha vav. Mecham shapinam imer mayim chayim, an urn of hot water from which he removed the hot water. Mutaliting l'techem mayim tzeinen. Now the urn is still warm. He can put cold water into it kedei lahavshiram, in order to remove the chill and to slightly warm them. Umuta litzek mayim chamin l'tech mayim tzeinen. It's permitted to pour a little hot water into cold water, or tzeinen l'tech chamin, or some cold water into hot water. V'hu shalo yiv b'kli rishon, only if it's not in. If the hot water into which he's pouring some cold water is not standing on the fire, because in that case he would heat up the cold water very much, and so also a pot of boiling water, even though he has removed it from the fire, he should not put some seasoning into it, because the seasoning will cook up in that pot since it's very hot. But he can put salt in it, because salt will not cook unless it's on a very hot fire. However, if he took the cooked food and poured it out from the pot into a bowl, even though it's still simmering in the bowl, it's permitted to put the seasoning into the bowl, because this bowl is now a secondary utensil removed from the fire, and in such a secondary utensil nothing will cook. Chilsis is a medicinal root. We may not soak it to make a brew, bein the pesher and bein betzeinen, neither in hot water nor in cold water. Aval shiro isam l'teich achomitz, but he can soak it in vinegar. V'im shasahu v'yem chamishi v'shishi, if he drank it on Thursday and Friday, we learned in the last chapter that this has to be done for 3 days in a row. If he drank it on Thursday and Friday, then he can soak it in cold water on Shabbos. He must do it on Shabbos too, so he can soak it in cold water, and then put it into the sun until it warms up, and drink it, so that he would not become sick, because if he stops drinking this chilsis brew after 2 days, he will become sick. Halochiches, davashen is bashal kedem haShabbos, something that was cooked before Shabbos, hegdishu b'chamin lifnei haShabbos, or was soaked in hot water before Shabbos, afal pishu achshav tzeinen, even though now it's already cold, mutar l'shloisi b'chamin b'Shabbos, he may soak it again in hot water on Shabbos to warm it. V'davashu tzeinen meikari, but something that is cold to begin with, v'leipa b'chamin meyelam, and it had never been heated, v'dicha noisi, you can rinse it with warm water on Shabbos. If it's not such a thing that, as we learned in chapter 9 if it's not a thing that rinsing in hot water will finish its cooking. But in no case can you soak it in hot water. It's permitted to warm things up in the sun. Even though, as we learned in chapter 9, you cannot heat things and things that were heated in the sun, but you can heat things that directly in the sun. Because he will not make a mistake, and heating it in the sun will not cause him to heat something in a fire. And therefore one may put cold water into the sun to heat it. So also one can take clean water and pour it onto foul water in order to have the clean water chilled by the foul water. And one can put some food into a well full of water in order to preserve it there in the cold. One can mix together water and salt and oil and dunk his bread into it, or put this into some cooked food, but only if he makes it a little at a time. But to make a lot at once is forbidden, because it looks like he's doing some part of the cooking operation. Similarly, one may not make very strong salt water that's made of two-thirds salt and one-third water, because it looks like he's making brine for fish, which is forbidden. It's permitted to salt an egg, but to salt radish or other hard foods, osir, it's forbidden. Because since these are softened and sweetened by the salt, it looks like he is making pickles and preserves on Shabbos. And making pickles or preserves is forbidden, because that's like cooking. But it's permitted to take radish or similar vegetable and dip it into the salt and eat it immediately. It's permitted to make a mixture of wine and honey and pepper on Shabbos and to eat it. But wine and water and perfumed oil, also, this is forbidden, because healthy people do not normally eat this. So the law in any similar situation, mustard that was mixed together and kneaded with vinegar before Shabbos, the next day he can squeeze it out with his hand or with some utensil and then put honey into it, but he may not stir it with a spoon, he can only mix it together. This is a certain very spicy and hot herb that is ground apart and put into water. If he did this before Shabbos, he mixed it with the water before Shabbos. On the next day, on Shabbos, he can put into it oil and vinegar and seasoning, but he cannot stir it, he can only mix it. Shum shariske miyarev Shabbos, garlic that was cut apart and crushed before Shabbos, lemocha noisim l'techa grisin, on Shabbos one can put it into peas, velo yishchik, but he cannot grind it together, elamar, if he can only mix it. Halocha yud gimel, hanoitel seyem meguf adam, one who removes hair from a person's body, chayev misham gezes, he is guilty of shearing, lefichach, and therefore also lechitzes hayadayim bedav shemashes aseyev vade, it's forbidden to wash one's hands with some chemical that will definitely remove the hair, such as alum or some similar chemical, but it's permitted to scrape the hands with ground up frankincense, va'afar pilpilin, or ground up pepper, va'afar yasmin, or ground up jasmine seeds, v'chayetzi b'hem, or some similar chemical, and he does not have to worry that it might remove some of the hair from his hand, because that's not his intention. If he mixed together two chemicals, one which will definitely remove the hair and one which may not remove the hair, if the majority was the chemical that definitely removes the hair, also it's forbidden to scrape with that. And if not, then mutar, it's permitted. Halacha yudalet, also lira is b'marish shel matchas b'Shabbos. It's forbidden to look into a shiny metal mirror on Shabbos. Gzeira shemayashib onimin hamidoldolim in aseya, because since the metal has a sharp edge, we are afraid that if he sees in the mirror strands of hair that are hanging loose, he will cut them off. Afilu kavua bakesal, and even if the mirror is hanging firmly affixed to the wall, it's forbidden. Avil marish einish al matches, but a mirror that's not made out of metal, muter liris bo afilu einikvu, it's permitted to look into it even if it's not fixed to the wall. Halacha tezvav, hamechabis chayim mishum alabim. Again, we learned in chapter 9 that laundering is forbidden because of the malach of bleaching. It's a derivative of bleaching, and therefore, and one who wrings out a garment that was washed is also punished with neshu mechabis, because that's part of the laundering. Lefichach, and therefore, also lidchoik matlis oimeich v'chayetzi b'hem b'fi ho'ashisha v'chayetzi b'o k'dei l'satma. It's forbidden to take a cloth or a sponge or some similar thing and to squeeze it into the neck of a narrow-necked jar that contains oil in order to stop up the neck, because it absorbs the oil and he may squeeze it when he does so and squeeze out the oil. It's forbidden to clean something with a sponge, unless there's some handle to the sponge, so that he will not squeeze the sponge. It's forbidden to cover up a barrel of water, or some similar thing, with a cloth that's not used for that purpose, because he may later wring out the cloth. But a cloth that's normally made for that, he will not wring out, since it's normally expected to be wet. If a barrel broke on Shabbos, he can save as much wine as he can use on Shabbos, for himself and for his guests. So long as he does not absorb the wine into some cloth or something, or yetapeach b'shemen, and that he does not wipe the oil up with his hand and then wipe it off on a utensil, because if he saves the wine or the oil in the normal weekday fashion, he may absorb it into some cloth and wring it out. How should he save the wine or the oil? Maybe he brings a container and puts it underneath so that it will catch the drippings. He may not bring another bowl afterwards, another container, and collect some more, and then another container, and collect them all together. Gzeira, because we are afraid, Shamayavi Kli Derech Rishusarab, that he might carry a utensil through the public domain. If he has many guests, maybe Kli Acher V'Koil, and then he may bring another bowl and collect it, because it's going to be used immediately, therefore they did not decree it to be forbidden. Kli Acher Mitzarf, or he can bring another utensil and add it to the first one. However, he cannot collect it first in a forbidden fashion and then invite the guests. He has to first invite the guests, and only then can he collect more than he himself can use. If, however, he violated this and he did by subterfuge, collect it first and invite the guests afterwards. Mutar, he may use the wine or the oil. Halacha yud zayin, tich al gabi bigdoy. If one has clay on his garment, mechas kesei bibifnim, he can scrape the garment from the inside, from the other side of the cloth, so that the clay will fall off. Eini mechas kesei mibachutz, but he cannot scrape it from the outside where the clay is. Gzeir shema yichabes, because he might come to launder the garments too. But he may scrape it off with his fingernail. And he does not have to be afraid that he might come to launder it. One who scrapes a piece of cloth or a scarf, this is forbidden, because this is like laundering. Aval acholuk mutar, but a suit it's permitted. Mipnei ein kavanosi ela larakhoi, because he's scraping it not to launder it, he's scraping it in order to soften the stiff cloth. Halacha yudches minaloi sandal shenislach lebetitu vetzoya. His shoes or boots that became dirty with clay or with manure, mutar lesach sechoi b'mayim. It's permitted to rinse it off with water, but actually to wash it is forbidden. It's forbidden to scrape shoes or boots if they're brand new, because this softens them and then smooths them, and it's forbidden. But he may smear them with oil, and he may clean off old boots. Cushions or blankets that had mattresses that have some soil or some dirt on them, he can wipe it off with a piece of rag. However, if the soil or the dirt was on some leather, since this is not laundered by rinsing, you can pour enough water onto it until it washes off. Someone whose hand became soiled with clay, he can wipe it off on a horse's tail or on a cow's tail or with a stiff piece of cloth, which is a stiff cloth that's used to grab onto thorn bushes, but not with a cloth that's made for wiping the hands, because if he does it in the usual way, as on a weekday, he will then end up washing the towel. However, if he did it with some stiff cloth or with a horse's tail, we're not afraid that he will wash that on Shabbos. Halacha chof, mi sherochetz b'mayim, someone who washed his hands or washed a part of his body with water, mistapik baluntose, he can dry himself with his towel, umevia biyodei, and he can then carry the wet towel in his hand, and we do not have to worry that he will squeeze it, because since this towel is made for washing the hands, he will not worry about it. Similarly, someone whose garments got soaked in water, he can walk while wearing these garments, and we do not worry that while walking he will squeeze them. But he may not spread them out to dry, even in the house, because someone who sees him do so will say that he washed the garments on Shabbos, and then he spread them out to dry after he laundered them. And even though it's in his house, every case where the sages forbid something because what the onlookers might think, it's forbidden even in one's innermost chamber where there are no onlookers. Two mikvahs, one above the other, which are connected by a pipe or a channel. He can take out the stopper that separates the two, umashikam, and cause the two to mix together. He does this in order to make the upper mikveh kosher, and then he can take the stopper and put it back in place. Because he will not come to squeeze the stopper. he's not going to stuff the stopper back tightly into the hole and then end up squeezing the stopper while he does so, because it's his intention that the two mikvahs should be mixed together, and therefore he does want it in loose so that some water can go from one mikvah to the other. A ditch or a gutter that carries water into the courtyard, he can stop up the entrance, besudrin of a choldover hametaltil, with some cloths or other things that can be moved about, so that the water will not come in and overflow onto food that's there, valakelim, or onto utensils that are there in the courtyard. But he cannot stuff up the outlet in order that the ditch shall overflow and the water will flow down into the well, because we're afraid that he will squeeze it, since his intention is to stopper it tightly now, we're afraid that he will squeeze it there when he stops it up, because the stopper has been soaked in water while he put it through there, and here we are afraid that he will squeeze it. Also, the taket base yachal begodim, ulasharbim shvarim. It's forbidden to repair the sleeves of garments or to fold them up into small folds, in the way that people prepare garments on a weekday. Some garments that have just been laundered. It's forbidden to fold up garments on Shabbos in the way that one would do it on a weekday. With garments, after they are laundered, however, if he has no other garment to exchange with it, then it's permitted to fold it up, and to unfold it, and to put it on, so that one will appear, will make a good appearance on Shabbos. But it's permitted only if it's a new white garment, because he will not do too much with this garment, since it will get dirty right away. When he folds it up, only one person should fold it. But two people to fold it is forbidden, because when you two people fold it up, creases are removed, and that's forbidden. Again, in chapter 9, we learned that dyeing, coloring, is a principal malocha, and therefore also lishot lahavis sirak al paneho. A woman may not put any red dye on her face, because this is like dyeing. V'hatoifer, sewing, we also learned, is meavis malochas. This is one of the principal malochas, and therefore also lamalis hakar v'haksas hachadoshim b'muchin. One may not take new cushions or mattresses and fill it up with wads of cotton, because we're afraid that he will then sew it up. But stuffing that fell out of the pillow or the mattress, it can be put back in on Shabbos. Tearing is one of the principal malachas, and therefore lefichach mishen istapchu begodav bekoitzim, someone whose garments have become caught up in the thorns, mafrisham betzina, he can remove it from the thorns, but only very gently, and he does it very slowly, so that he will not tear the garment. And if the garment does become torn, any chayav klum, he is not punished at all for it, because it was not his intention to tear it. It's permitted to put on new garments, even though there may be some seams that are not properly open, and if they tear, so they tear. It's permitted to take nuts, a bunch of nuts, and wrap them in a cloth and crack the whole thing at once, and we're not afraid that perhaps the sharp edges of the shells will tear the cloth. We learned in chapter 10 that one who knocks two things together so they become joined is guilty of construction. Lefichach, and therefore, kol adloseis hamechubrois lakarka, all doors that are connected to construction that is on the ground, part of the ground, loinoit lemoisam v'leimachzirim, such doors may not be removed from their place nor put back in place. Gzeira shema yitka, because we are afraid that he will knock the hinge pins in, and this is forbidden. Aval delas shida teva migdol, but movable objects that are utensils, such as the door of closets and boxes and armoires, or shardalsis akelim, and other doors that belong to utensils, noitlim v'lei marzirim, they can be removed but not put back in place. V'im nishma tzir hatachtin shalahem, if the lower hinge pin comes out, doich kemoisilim koimoi, it can be forced back into place. If it's partially out, it can be put back in, because since the door is still hanging from the upper hinge pin, replacing the hinge pin in the lower hinge is not so difficult of a migdash. And in the base hamigdash, where these rabbinical prohibitions do not apply, marzir moisoi, it can be put back even if it came completely out. But if the upper hinge pin came out, also marzir bekol makim, everywhere, even outside the base hamigdash, it's forbidden to put it back, because the door is not hanging steadily only on the lower hinge pin, and putting back the upper hinge pin would be a regular construction. We're afraid that if he puts it back when it's partially out, he may knock it in when it's completely out. It's forbidden to braid the hair of the head. It's forbidden to part the hair, because if one were to do this on a construction, this would be construction, and therefore it's forbidden to do it even on a person, because it looks like construction. It's forbidden to put back together a menorah that comes apart in pieces, nor a chair that's made of separate carved pieces, nor a table that comes apart, cannot be put back together, and similar objects that come apart, because it looks like construction, even though these are utensils. V'im herzir potter, but if he does put them back together, he is not punished. Shein binyan bekelim v'in stira bekelim, because the malocha of construction does not properly apply to utensils, nor does the malocha of demolition apply to it. V'im hoya rafui mutar, if the thing was put together but it was loose, mutar laharziri, it's permitted to put it properly together. V'in metakne chuyis shal shidr shal kotten, it's forbidden to replace partially dislocated spinal vertebra of a child, if it's not a newborn infant, zubitzadzu, to have the vertebra aligned properly, because this looks like construction. Halachah of Zion, hois oyel kavor, one who makes a permanent roof, chayiv mishum boina, he's punished for construction, lefichach, and therefore, inoisim oyel aray lechatchila, to begin with, one may not even make a temporary roof, veloisoisrin oyel aray, nor can one demolish a temporary roof, because we're afraid that if he does so, he will come to make or to take apart a permanent roof. If one makes or takes apart a temporary roof, potter, he is not punished. It's permitted to add to a temporary roof that's already there on Shabbos. Ketzat, for example, talus shoysa prusa l'amudim, if a talus is spread out over posts to make a temporary tent, oya laksolim, or over a wall, v'hoysa krucha koydim ha-Shabbos, and it's rolled up before Shabbos. Im nisha mimena gag tefach, if there's still a horizontal roof that's at least a handbreadth wide, masuach, that's spread out there, harei ze meisech eskula b'Shabbos, he can spread the whole thing out on Shabbos, hacheyeh, so he can godel, to make a large roof out of it, v'chein kol kayetzi b'zoy, and so the law in any similar case, halacha chavches, ein teila mesakila, it's forbidden to spread out a netting over a poster bed to keep the flies out, because this makes a temporary tent underneath. It's permitted to put down a bed or a chair or a stool on the floor, even though now the space under them is covered with a roof and it's like a temporary roof. because putting down a ready fashioned thing like that is not the way you usually make a permanent or a temporary roof. Halacha chof tes, kol oil meshupa, a roof that is not horizontal but it's slanting, she'en begagui tefach, if there's no horizontal roof that is a hand breadth wide, v'loi bepochas mishloisha somach legagui reichachav tefach, nor is there below the top, within a height of 3 handbreadths below the top, does it spread out to a width of a handbreadth. Hareze oil harai, this type of a roof is considered a temporary roof. And one who made such a roof on Shabbos is not punished. Talis kfula, a talis that's folded up. It has strings by which it's suspended. Me'erev Shabbos, it's been hanging there for Me'erev Shabbos. Mutal and toisa, you're allowed to spread it out on Shabbos. Mutal afarkan, you're allowed to fold it back up. And so also a curtain. Halocha lamed, kilas chasanim, a canopy over a bed which does not hang horizontal over 4 posters, but it hangs down at an angle on the sides from 2 posts that come out of either end of the bed. She'en begaga tefach, if the horizontal roof on it is not a hand breadth wide, v'ein bepochas mishloisha sumach legavagoreichav tefach, nor does it, after it slants down, become 3 handbreadths wide within. Become 1 handbreadth wide within 3 handbreadths of the top. Since this is made to hang down this way, mutal and toisa mutal afarka, you're allowed to spread it out, you're allowed to roll it up. So long as it is not hanging above the bed by a hand breadth empty, because then the area under it is considered a tent. A curtain that stops up a window, when it's hanging there ready for that, even though it's not tied or hanging already, you can put it there to close up the window on Shabbos. Halacha lamedalef, koyva shoysen al haroish, a hat that's made to wear on the head, v'yeshli sofa makefes, and it has a brim all around it, shiyoset seil kemayoyel alavushay, and this makes a shadow like a tent would do over the rest of his garments. Mutal alavshe, you're allowed to put on such a hat on Shabbos. V'yemhoitzi min abeged soviv l'roishay, a kenaged ponav kemayehel. However, if he wears a garment and he sticks out from the garment, either around his head or in front of his face, a brim or a visor that sticks out like a roof, like a tent, and it's fastened to his head, and it was not flexible like cloth, but this horizontal piece that sticks out is stiff like a roof would be, also it's forbidden. It's forbidden by rabbinical decree, because he is, when he puts this on, he is making a temporary roof. One who hangs a curtain or some similar thing, tzarechli zari, has to be careful, shloyas oil b'shoshenoita, that he shouldn't spread it horizontally to make a roof when he's hanging it. Lefichach, and therefore, moisa pareches gedoilo, if it's a large pareches, toilo moisa shnayim, 2 people should hang it, aval echad osa, but 1 person who can't handle it right is forbidden. V'im hoisa kilo, sheyesh lo gag, and if it hangs down from 2 posts at an angle on either side, and it makes a roof in the middle, and moisre moisav afilu asara, even 10 people may not spread it out. Sheyefshesh leitugba me'alhamat me'alaretz, because it's impossible that it will not be a little bit above the ground. V'teyosoy alaray, and then for the space under it is a temporary tent. Halacha lamed gimel, beged shemechasa boy piachovis, a cloth which is used to cover the opening of a barrel, or yechasa boy eskula, it should not be completely covered b'pneishenasa oil, because then the interior of the barrel becomes a tent. Aval mechasa hu mitzus pia, but he can cover the opening partially. Hamesanin bekrifa mitzris, one who filters water or wine or clear wine through a Egyptian type of a reed basket, lo yagbia karkois akrifa min akli tefach, he should not pick the bottom of the basket up a handbreadth higher than the container into which he's filtering, so that he will not come to make a temporary roof on Shabbos. Thank you for listening. Please listen tomorrow for chapter 23.